Thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Grand Central Bakery, with multiple locations throughout Portland. Open every day 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and offering coffee, artisan breads, pastries, soups, and sandwiches. Lunch was provided by Namaste Indian Cuisine, located at 1403 Northeast Widler Street. Open every day with lunch and dinner buffets serving vegetarian and non-vegetarian items from 11 to 9:30 p.m. Dinner was provided by Karam Lebanese and Syrian Cuisine, located at 515 Southwest 4th Avenue. Open Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., Saturday till 10 p.m., and Sunday 2 to 9 p.m., offering a wide selection of traditional Lebanese and Syrian dishes.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
All right, thank you, audience, for listening to us. We have a great show today, and we have a host of great people that's advocating for the houseless community. It's the Village Coalition, and what they do, I'll let them explain it to you, but I would like for them to introduce themselves. First of all, happy February 2017, the Dirty Birds Atlanta lost, and Trump won. So to my left, we have.
My name's Lisa Larson, and I am the chairperson of Dignity Village. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. My name is Elspeth Kangwe-Ku, and I'm a member of the Village Coalition. I'm a long ago houseless person, and housed and being of service.
Cool. I'm Vahid Brown. Thanks, Eve, for having us here. Co-founder of Hazelnut Grove and the Village Coalition, and work also with the Portland Houseless Support Coalition.
And I'm Katie Mays. I work for JOIN, and my role is out at Dignity Village as a support specialist there and part of the Village Coalition.
And I'm Lisa Fay. I'm your co-host tonight, and I'm the chairperson of Right to Survive.
And this is yours truly, Ibrahim Mubarak, from everywhere. And this is our pitch month, and so if you like our show, which I know you do, or you'll be listening to some other show, so it's quick and easy to donate to Cable Online. It's KBOO.FM, and toll free is 877-500-5266. All right, let's get on with the show. You all can speak as you will anytime. So do anyone want to explain what the Village Coalition is?
Yeah, so Vahid here, the Village Coalition started over a year ago. There were last year, you know, there was work around supporting the villages that the new ones and the existing ones, and kind of different villages were kind of coming together around their shared resources. The hub for a lot of the resources that villages were using to create structures and to build their kitchens and common areas was the Rebuilding Center. And after Hazelnut Grove was established in September of 2015, we developed a relationship with the Rebuilding Center, and I was going up there to look at things that might be available for the village at Hazelnut, and I'd see, oh, there's a great pallet of wood. Can I bring that to the Grove? And he'd say, no, that's for Dignity. We've already set that aside. So we kind of thought, well, why don't we get Dignity to come in, and we can all talk about what's available, what's needed, what are the resources? So it began as kind of just, let's all get together at the Rebuilding Center and talk about how to best support the villages. And the coalescence of people and the interest from community partners was amazing. So it grew from that really kind of humble beginning to quickly a big table of like 40 people, people from the trades. PSU got interested and got involved really early on, and their design community from the School of Architecture got involved really early. People from the faith community that were doing outreach. And it became a unique institution in the city of Portland that's a kind of a democratic institution that is comprised largely of houseless people and residents of houseless villages that are disposing of resources and getting resources for themselves and for the houseless community. They're influencing policy on the city and county level. They're creating new communities in the city on the basis of you know, advocacy that's coming from the houseless community. So in that way, it's pretty unique.
Okay, and what are they doing now? What I mean, let me backtrack. To get houseless people organized is a chore within itself. Now, to get villages of houseless people organized, how did you come about that? And Lisa, what was your partake?
Well, I have to say, I came into the coalition later into the game of it. I know from Dignity standpoint, we're going to the coalition, we're talking about different problems we're having. We're also giving support to the other communities that are trying to get started. I know we've talked about mentorship, and people that are at the village are quite interested in it.
And S-Man, you're a supporter of all villages. I mean,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How does that, I know it's wear and tear, but what is your role and how does that work for you?
So my focus right now is to really try to provide a connection between housed neighbors and communities with these new emerging villages to identify common interests and identify what kinds of resources exist within the communities that might be brought forward in collaboration with houseless villages. And, you know, in fact, we have seen a number of initiatives that are moving forward that have been really successful. We had the PODS initiative, which came out of collaboration with folks across the city. The Center for Public Interest Design was wonderful and instrumental. We had a design charrette back in October that we held at Mercy Corps. And it allowed us to come together and be informed by our houseless village residents about what their needs are. And then we've materialized their vision into 14 pods. And now we're working with neighborhoods to identify sites and identify places and possibilities for villages that match neighborhood needs.
And when identifying sites, how are you working with the local community, the residents within the community, and businesses to make them feel that this is something that they want in their neighborhood?
That's a really good question. You know, I think that we're learning as we go along. So that's a little bit of our experience. We've been able to work with the city to identify properties that may be owned by the city that are not being used. So we're looking at underutilized public resources. And then begins the process of reaching out to the neighborhood associations and holding meetings and cultivating relationship with them to find out what their concerns are. So that's really the starting point. You know, the folks who are living in houselessness are dealing with their realities and their logistics every single day. But the housed community is not really always familiar with the kinds of considerations that folks may be experiencing. And so there is sort of a weaving together in those early conversations.
Can I keep you on? Because I find that quite odd and disturbing. house people support each other, but the minute you lose your housing, it seems you don't have no rights. And how are they addressing that? Because we the same people that was housed, we just without house.
Wow, that's a tough one, because I definitely see, I see communities in Portland that have really been hard hit, that have been sort of at a critical stress points, where housed neighbors have really felt the stress of unsupported houseless folks in their midst. And so it can be awkward. There's tension. And unfortunately, it's very easy to jump into some kind of stereotype as a reference point for how to interact with one another. And I see it on both sides. So education is key, and humanizing and bringing the notion of dignity into the conversation is really the way.
So if you want to ask us questions, the experience, the experts, call us at 503-231-8187.
And here's another number for folks to call Ibrahim. That number is 877-500-5266. That's the number to get you a membership to KABU Community Radio. And that is the number that puts you in a position of supporting so many communities, so many people. The movement for a better world is really what you are supporting when you join KABU. And we're asking that you do that right now, because you're listening, and you know you're listening because you care about these issues. You care about people who are experiencing houselessness. You care about people who are living in extreme poverty. You care about people who the system has messed over and has exploited. You care, and you're stepping forward right now to say that you want to be a part of a solution, that you see yourself as something bigger than you, just the individual, that you, in fact, know that you can contribute to KABU Community Radio, to support independent media, and that together we can inform each other about the issues that are impacting us, that are affecting our lives, and that we can take right action together to improve the world, to support each other, to move forward into making a more just, more humane, more beautiful place to be. That our cultures can interweave and strengthen each other, and that, in fact, we have a little bit of the solution within us. Right now, we're asking that you do this really simple yet very tangible and powerful thing. That is to kick out some money for KABU. Support your community radio station. If you got 20 bucks right now, go ahead and commit 20 bucks to your community radio station. We have low-income sliding scale memberships, and we want your participation. Your participation is what really matters more than any single dollar amount. We want to know that you are here, that we can count on you for your support at whatever level you can afford. $20 is a wonderful way to jump into the community and say, yeah, you believe in KABU's mission. You believe in the power of people's media, and you want to do your part to make the world a better place. Have some impact right now, my friends. Pick up your phone and call us at 877-500-5266 so that you can, in fact, be a part of this solution. You can support KABU Community Radio and become a member of KABU today, or renew your membership right now, KBOO.FM, or call us, 877-500-5266.
Welcome back to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO. Let's give the call-in number one more time if you have a question for anyone in the studio tonight. The number is 503-231-8187. And Katie, I'd like to ask you a question. You're working through Join with Dignity Village, mm-hmm. and you're part of the Village Coalition. How does your work relate to Dignity, and how will Join foresee their role with the coalition in the future?
So I have worked
for Join for just over 2 years, and I've been at at Dignity Village for the whole time. My job was created really kind of seen as providing a little extra support to the folks out at Dignity Village. The village has been around for over 15 years with just an immense amount of kind of independence and their own resources and ingenuity and just running their own organization out there, and that's incredible. The city had some thoughts that certain areas could be improved, and they wanted to sort of like bridge this gap and hopefully make it so that the Dignity Village could enjoy a little more stability and sort of look towards bigger projects. So my role was created. I got hired mostly to support sort of admin and organizational needs around, you know, making sure demographic reports were on time, and just sort of like the nitty gritty stuff of running a nonprofit that's kind of boring and just sort of like stuff that no one wants to do, which is totally fine. So over the years, as I've grown to know the folks that live at the village a lot more, I've been really grateful for that relationship and the sort of trust that we've built together, so that I can continue to help them make sure stuff is running, that they are able to continue to do their important work, as well as get to know the folks who live out at Dignity Village and try and connect them to other resources, whatever they're asking for, looking for, whatever, to support whatever their goal may be, whether that's moving into housing or getting a job or getting other benefits or anything else. So, yeah.
So will the work be similar with the Village Coalition? And if we have, hopefully, as more villages and communities are established throughout Portland?
Yeah. I see my role as a liaison between a lot of different communities. Being on site at Dignity Village for most of the week gives me obviously great relationships out there. Working in social services and having connections at other agencies is important. Working with the city, Village Coalition definitely has improved those relationships and sort of brought different community partners into the picture. And that, to me, like personally, that's been just an amazing asset for being involved in the Village Coalition. And also, it's been incredible, or like really affirming, to kind of tap into the wisdom and experience of the other villages in Portland and elsewhere. It's a unique model, and one that relies a lot on the strength of the people living in these communities, and a lot of like, you know, grassroots empowerment, which comes with its own set of challenges. And so Dignity Village has had challenges for years around, you know, different internal conflicts and issues with all sorts of things that are struggles and feels like no one can even understand what it is because of the nature of it. But you bring that up at the Village Coalition, and folks from Hazelnut Grove are like, yeah, we deal with the exact same thing out here, and how can we work together? So that sort of like shared understanding of issues and challenges makes me really excited for the future.
Now, Katie, inquiry minds want to know. I first met you when you was working at Sister of the Road, and then you went to Join, and a lot of people call high-tech organization like that poverty pimps. So by you working with sisters, getting to know the community, and then going to Join, now you liaison with Dignity Village, what challenges are you facing by not trying to control but guiding them?
Yeah, my year at Sisters of the Road was just the most incredible foundation for what it means to be community-based and looking towards systemic change, and sort of the very extreme way that an organization with sort of foundations of roots like Sisters can practice and be applied to other places. So I think I have brought that to Join, and Join has its own model of being relationship-based and very much like trusting and holding up the work and wisdom of the people that we are working with. So those sorts of shared values, I would hope to continue.
When we come back from our next break, I would like to ask about the Village Coalition and some of the things that have been going on recently, very exciting things, like their nonprofit status, how many groups are now participating together, and what the next steps are moving forward in the development of the coalition, keeping everyone together.
And you know you're going to want to stick around to hear that information. This is Right to Survive Radio. This is radio from the street view, quite literally. And we are hearing stories from people that are so, you know, in our society, we talk about people who experience homelessness and houselessness. We talk about people who are living in conditions of extreme poverty. But for people who are in the housed community, right, for people that are actually not on the street, then we don't often talk to our houseless neighbors, right? We don't actually know their stories. We tend to turn away as a society. And I think that this is such an important show. Really, to me, Right to Survive Radio is a program that epitomizes the importance of KBOO's public affairs, because we reach out through this program to share these stories. How many times have you said to a friend, you know, I was listening to KBOO and I heard this thing. I heard this story. I heard about this person who, was living in one of our homeless camps in Portland. I heard about their life. I heard about the resources they had or the resources they didn't have. I heard about what it was like to be on the streets, and I heard about it on KBOO. That is huge, right? This is a rare thing. It is an extremely, extremely rare thing for a platform to get extended, a microphone to be extended, and for people from the houseless community to say, yeah, come on in and put a radio show together, because we actually want to hear from you. We don't want to hear from folks who are making a living from being a journalist, who can come up with some clever questions to ask people who are experiencing houselessness. No, we want people who are in that community to be empowered to come forward and to use this platform that is here for so many communities, so that we can share our stories and share our experiences and build bridges and, really create good, solid movements for social change. You are a part of that when you dial 877-500-5266. You are a part of the solution. You are a part of something bigger than yourself, because you are putting your finances where your values are. You are backing what you believe in with a few of your hard-earned dollars. Right now, I'm asking you to start a monthly electronic funds transfer, a sustaining membership to KBOO. Just go ahead if you have a regular kind of job, think about what you make in an hour, and then parlay that into support every month for KBOO. You make $15 an hour, give KBOO $15 a month. You make $12 an hour, give KBOO $12 a month. You make $25 an hour, give KBOO $25 a month. And know that your support comes in here to KBOO, and it's so very appreciated, so very needed. And we put all of your pennies to hard work in support of the community, so that we can keep building these bridges and we can keep everyone informed and inspired and taking right action together to make the world a better place. That is, in essence, what we are about. 877-500-5266. Online, you can get us at kboo.fm. I really want to thank Brian in Southeast Portland. Thank you so much. Brian supports community and community radio. He loves the blues. He loves Amy Goodman. He loves KBOO. Thank you, Brian, for supporting us this afternoon. We love you. And go ahead, introduce yourself to us now. If you haven't heard from you today, please take this moment to do it. 877-500-5266 is that number. Call on in. Go ahead and see what it's like. If you haven't been a KABU member before, see what it's like once you are, what it's like to listen to the radio, what it's like to know that it is in part because of your support that we are on the air. That is about as simple as I can break it down to you. You are the reason we exist. You make it all possible with your generous support. Go ahead and give us a call right now and say yes to community radio. You would like to start a monthly electronics fund membership. You would like to start being a sustaining member of KABU, and you would like to do that, say, to the tune of about an hour's wage every month, and know that you are doing your part. You can do it online at kboo.fm. You can do it in person. Come on down to 20 Southeast 8th. And when you're coming in person, make sure you take your receipt with you, and you can get over to Cider Riot a block away at 807 Northeast Cooch, otherwise known as 8th and Cooch, and they'll give you a dollar off a pint in their tasting room. They're open till 11 o'clock tonight, friends. And so you could do that, or maybe easiest of all, pick up your phone and give us a call, 877-500-5266. Support Right to Survive Radio. Support this amazing coalition of truth tellers, adding to KABU's public affairs offerings. Support the overall effort to access independent media, to access information unfettered by corporate interests, information from the ground up, where we, in fact, all agitate for social change and share in the support. Please be a part of that support right now by dialing 877-500-5266.
Okay. Welcome back to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. And I would like to give you the call-in number one more time. I know you've had a lot of numbers tonight. This one's 503-231-8187. If you have questions for any of our guests tonight, we are talking about the Village Convergence. I'm sorry, the Village Coalition. And I have four members of the coalition here with Right to Survive tonight. And I was asking a question before we went to break. I want to know, well, I know, but I don't think the audience knows. There's a lot of wonderful things happening with the coalition. Recently, they got their 501c3.
We're still an Oregon nonprofit. So we're not a 501c3, but we do have paperwork for the Oregon nonprofit status, and that's part of I think the future plan for the coalition. Absolutely.
And I know there's many wonderful community groups involved in the coalition. Would anyone like to take a guess and name off some of the wonderful groups working alongside the houseless?
Or you can do it all together in harmony. Let's sing it.
Everybody now, all like together.
Yeah, I think to start, the kind of foundation is the villages in Portland. So Dignity Village, Rancho Dream 2, Hazelnut Grove, Forgotten Realms was there for a little bit.
Yeah, Speak mm-hmm. Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of the smaller organized camps.
Right yeah. to Survive.
That's right.
Rebuilding Center.
Yeah, and then we get into some like architecture groups. So Portland State University College of School of Architecture, and then their Center for Public Interest Design, some other architecture firms, Communitecture,
Open Architecture,
Boots on the Ground.
Yeah, yeah. So then other
and we have the direct service providers. Right?
Yeah, direct service yeah. providers like Boots on the Ground, right. Advocacy Five, Join.
Backpacks of Hope.
Yeah.
I'm going to
stop repeating.
Go ahead, Mahid. You know it all. Go
well, there's the faith partners, too. And we're, Elspeth and I are on one of many different work groups that are carrying forward initiatives, different kinds of initiatives of the coalition. This is like a faith group outreach work group. And we already have Home PDX and the Agape Church of Christ and the Red Barn Ministries have all had close involvement with the coalition at various stages, but we're actively reaching out and working on a survey to kind of not only map what churches in the Portland area provide in terms of food, clothing, and access to services to houseless people, but what they might be willing to provide. So we're going to try to sort of grow the coalition of those involved, and then there are they're kind of trade groups that have been helping out with the actual building of villages. Like, I mean, in addition to the architectural and design firms that were a part of the POD project, there's been Portland Youth Builders and Oregon Tradeswomen, Tivnu, a kind of a gap year Jewish youth group that has kind of takes on projects, and they've been going down to Hazelnut Grove a lot to help build there. And that connection was made by a member of the Temple Beth Israel community who's been very active with the Village Coalition in helping us, you know, kind of build structures and get them deployed. That's some of the partners. What else?
Yeah. Who are we getting? City Repair.
City Repair, of course. That's a big one. So Mark
Digny Village, right?
Digny Village. Yeah,
we let off of those.
But Mark Lakeman of City Repair has been a core member, and his vision for placemaking has been, and his philosophy of placemaking has been sort of something that we share philosophically as the Village Coalition. So he's been a really influential presence.
As he's been influential in the beginning of many villages, Dignity and Right to Dream too.
That's right.
So I have a twofold question. How can someone join or be a part of Village Coalition? And also, is it any neighborhood association a part of Village Coalition?
Well, to be a part of the Village Coalition, the first step is probably showing up to a General Assembly meeting. So those are held every other Friday at, it's on Mississippi across from
the Albina Youth Opportunity School.
Yes.
At 1 o'clock.
At 1 p.m.
1 o'clock on every other Fridays. There's one this Friday, February 10th.
Yep.
We have a Facebook page that is populated with opportunities. Once you show up to a General Assembly meeting, there's other ways to tap in and get involved to some of the work groups we have. Vahid was talking about some of the faith community work groups. I don't know if we want to talk about other kind of work group initiatives.
Is any neighborhood association?
Well, there aren't a neighborhood. There's not a neighborhood association that's a member of the Village Coalition, but there are initiatives with which the Village Coalition is engaging with neighborhood associations.
Which?
Like Kenton, the Kenton Neighborhood Association.
Oh, I thought you said with, because when the women's walk, I took a picture with a bunch
of witches. Oh,
yeah. I love them witches.
Witch is welcome.
Witches are welcome, too. If they want to build villages, we're good with that.
Yes,
that's right.
Please.
Witch village, huh?
You
hear that,
re?
You know, I think we left off some really key partners on our partner list, and that is
I was just
city,
the same thing.
City officials.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So we've had reps from
the mayor's office.
Mayor's office, City of Portland, joint office.
Fish joint office of homeless services.
Yeah.
Yep. There's been interest from the other commissioners. There's lots and that's a rep that comes to every general meeting. So they've been continuously involved. But where there are villages and where there are initiatives that the Village Coalition is engaged in, we are proactively reaching out to and engaging with the neighborhood associations.
So Lisa, how do you think or we can start getting the neighborhood association involved in it so they'll know what we're trying to do and they won't bash us with that stereo houseless or houseless phobia type of mentality?
Well, a lot of it is education, educating the people that the homeless are people too. I know before I became homeless, the homeless were invisible. And we're not. We're not invisible. But educating the neighbors, educating the people that most of the homeless out there aren't, find the right word here, they're not what the typical.
They're not your grandfather's houseless person, right?
Okay, that's a great way of putting it. That's a great way of putting it. Mm-hmm. But just reaching out and trying to get the houseless people and the housed people together. I know Lisa's got a great program where she introduces both groups of people together and gets them to intermingle, and that's just an awesome program. So that's...
Okay, the other Lisa, can you tell us the name of that program?
Well, Right to Survive has an ambassador program, and we meet in different communities around Portland. We have one coming up at St. Nero's, And we have, we're hoping to have the Killingsworth Library coming up as well, where we take people who are housed and we tell them to bring their families, their children. We make art. We have little snacks. And we have open dialogue with people that are houseless and break down some of the misconceptions and stereotypes.
So, Vahid, how hard do you think you can get a whole neighborhood involved in, I mean, it got they got these things, sponsor a highway or support a highway and people. So how can, do you think the Village Coalition can ask a neighborhood association to do that? Because we're, the houseless community wasn't taught how to live houseless. We taught, we go to school, they educate us how to be doctors, teachers, baseball players or lawyers, but never houseless. So do you think that's a future thing for the Village Coalition?
I think it's the immediate past and the present mm-hmm. of the Village Coalition. Mm-hmm. The initiative that we're working on with the Kenton neighborhood is exactly that. That's the neighborhood as a whole. You know, not every member of the Kenton neighborhood, but certainly they've all been made aware by their neighborhood association, and there's been really great involvement. You know, 30 or 40 people from the neighborhood have been coming to our regular meetings. But since we began kind of approaching Kenton with the proposal to cite the 14 pods that came out of the pods initiative with the architectural and design community, the engagement with the neighborhood by the Village Coalition and our partners, Catholic Charities, the City of Portland, and the County Joint Office, has been incredibly positive and mutually engaged, right? So the Village Coalition has its role in bringing the professional experience, you might say, that the village, people who have created villages and live in them are the experts on villages. And so the Village Coalition has been a conduit for that expertise to inform the vision. But the neighbors themselves have been informing that vision and saying, you know, we want this to be beautiful. We want it to have green space. We want to make sure that the people there are safe and that this doesn't become a place where they become subject to crime or to, you know, to trauma. And then Catholic Charities informs, you know, with their background of 100 years of providing services to people seeking housing, you know, real expertise there. And the city and county are like, yeah, we can hook up the water and electricity. Yeah, we can integrate this into our continuum of shelter and housing transition. It's happening now. Kenton is the real highlight right now, where we are engaging with the neighborhood and saying, look, the houseless in your neighborhood are your neighbors. They're part of the neighborhood. And they deserve housing too. They deserve dignity. And they also deserve to be agents in this process. And so the Village Coalition is really helping to catalyze a readiness and a willingness and then an enthusiasm in the neighborhood to push that process forward.
And Esmin, the Neighborhood Association, if this happened, their property value would go up because then you won't have what they call it, zombie houses, mm-hmm. and people won't be loitering the streets to have a place for them to be, and they can feel work. And by you not, I think it's two people in here that haven't been houseless, I think, mm-hmm. and by you not never being houseless yet. You
no,
have?
Geez. I have.
Oh, forgive you me.
It's all right. You I came know, up and
kick me in my
I
ankle.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I'm just well healed now.
Oh, okay. Forgive you me. So is that a great transformation for you? And how does that make you feel by taking that? I mean, you're a leader. We all are leaders. And you're a leader in a different aspect. And you letting the neighborhood or the house people know they should get involved. How is that transition?
I think that what I see is that there's common ground in people wanting to do the right thing by their neighbors. And whether their neighbors are housed or not, there's agreement on this point. And so when we think about how we approach neighborhood associations and how we approached our housed neighbors, it really is about leading them through the logic of what it means to include the resource of our houseless folks. We are taught to disregard the human identity of houseless people. That's reinforced over and over. And so what we can do, by bringing everybody into the same rooms is we humanize the issue. And then it's easy. Then it's about resources. Then it's about making pretty simple choices about logistics. And so, you know, yeah, you speak about increased house values and things like that. I think anytime you integrate a community and really bring everybody in there together, then everybody benefits. I mean, it's just like planting trees. It's the same thing. We're planting people.
That is a wonderful way to put it. And while we're planting trees and planting people, I want to talk about the cultural exchange and inclusivity that Right to Survive upholds. And so does KBOO, KBOO here in Portland. And if you are part of this community, and or if you're new to this community and would love to be a part, we would love to have you donate and help out here on the show or with any of our other programming. And we would also like to have you continue to listen in, and we're going to throw it to Ani.
Thank you so much, Lisa, and it's great to be with you this evening. Right to Survive is such an important show, and you're listening to it right now. You know why it's important. These conversations are so very rare in our society. They impact so many people. Again, we were just talking about, no, I was just listening to these people talking about how it is that the folks in the houseless communities start to become invisible to people in houses, and how people in houses may turn away from folks who are living on the street or living in homeless camps. And I think that, you know, the more we can bring to light the reality of the situation, the more that we can talk about the fact that we are a part of each other's environs, right? And that we are still in community together, whether or not we have houses. How can we support each other? How can we work together to make our communities healthy? How can we work together to make our communities safe for everyone? These are super important conversations. They impact us. They affect our lives. They affect the quality of our lives. And you're only going to get that conversation on the broadcast dial here at KBOO. That's why it's so important right now that you support KBOO with your money. Go ahead and give us a call. Say, yeah, you want to join KBOO. Maybe you're new to the area, and this conversation is just kind of blowing your mind. Jump on in. Become one of the KBOO members that supports this radio station so that we can continue broadening public discourse together. Join us. $60 a year is our regular membership. You can do that $5 a month. You can do it all at once. However you would like to do it, join KBOO right now. $60 is a pretty affordable amount. If you do have a regular job, $5 a month. Think about what you can get for $5 a month and think about the difference your $5 a month makes when it's applied to your community radio station, KBOO. It keeps the signal going. It keeps the lights on. It keeps the gears running here so that we can continue to bring you insightful and inciting community information. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. Every day, thousands of you rely on the information you get from KBOO. We're here to provide it, and we need you to be there to provide the funds to keep us going. Call us, 877-500-5266.
You're on the
steering
Welcome
committee. Back to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. We don't have no call-ins. That's strange. We must be answering you all's question. This is a very intense, important conversation. 503-231-8187. And the heat. How is the Village Coalition changing the perception on not only houseless people, but houseless sanctioned? We don't want to say camp because it's a camping ban. Rest area villages or squats, I don't know. That's good to say.
Transitional
community. Community, yeah. Because that's what we build in community. Mm-hmm. And why are people afraid of us? They made us.
Mm-hmm. we're trying to changing perceptions about mm-hmm. houselessness and the role that houseless people can and are playing in addressing their own needs is a core goal and principle philosophy of the Village Coalition. So that's really at the heart of what we're trying to do. I mean, that happens at every Village Coalition meeting. Half the people at the table are houseless people. And many times the other half that are housed may not have been to other meetings, and this is their first experience of not just seeing another houseless person, but seeing another houseless person organizing for their own future. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of changing those perceptions. But I mean, maybe Katie, you can talk about some of the other, like that work group initiatives we have to do outreach and education.
Yeah. So more kind of tangibly, the members of the group are getting together, and Elspeth maybe can talk also talk about the work that they're doing to sort of build relationships and empower stories and voices and action within the community. But all this also, like, this sort of idea of changing perception and ideas gets back to another part of the kind of goal and mission of Village Coalition, which is to have a very, like, localized response and community-based response. So not only just within different villages that we hope to build and support in the future, but also, like, integrating them into neighborhoods and making it part of the community at large.
Well, yeah, and what I would say is that the way that we are materializing those values is through our Speakers Bureau initiative. We have a program that we're working on right now to create over the summertime from May to September monthly in the inner southeast corridor encounters with housed neighbors and neighborhood associations to bring people into conversation about you know, what our perceptions are about houselessness as housed neighbors, and what are the needs of the houseless in our very localized community. What do folks need? Because it's not always the same from neighborhood to neighborhood, and people identify in the dimensions of their houselessness differently. We might be talking about a family who's couch surfing for a year and a half. We might be talking about you know, a single person out there on the street hiding, trying to stay out of sight all the time. So it's very much about building relationships and very much about developing very customized solutions so that everybody can have ownership. Everybody can feel like it's working for them in community.
There's another thing I want to just kind of bring, see if Lisa can speak to this, but just concretely, there was in terms of changing perceptions and involving our houseless partners and you know, members of the coalition in that change, in the process of working with the Kenton neighborhood and Catholic Charities in the city and county, the Village Coalition drafted a community agreement, set of kind of agreements that the future residents of a proposed village in Kenton would agree to, and the Village Coalition kind of convened a women's leadership retreat, right? Of
I haven't gone.
Of women? Okay.
I couldn't make it either.
Were you there, Elspeth?
I went.
Okay, Els was there. So,
I was there.
So one of the things that I'm going to let you talk about that retreat, but one of its outcomes was we had a long conversation in the big meeting with Kenton about you know, one aspect of this neighborhood agreement, you know, and we were kind of wrangling and wrestling about what we thought, you know, our principled values should really inform this one thing. And then we asked the houseless women themselves, what is it that you want? And it was different. Tell us about that, Elspeth.
Yeah, so, you know, in the discussion of autonomy and wanting to sort of acknowledge and respect the rights of individual residents to engage in their own personal communities, we had made this wild assumption that residents would want to have a right to have overnight guests come and be in their private personal spaces within this village. And we heard over and over and over again from the women at the table that, in fact, they really kind of viewed the village as a sanctuary space and a place where they really didn't want to have the complication of outside visitors staying overnight, and that was really in consideration of the relation, like placing a priority on the relationships of community that they built with one another ahead of any personal needs for entertaining outside community. So there's a very strong sense of identity in among residents, village residents, in protecting what they have, in being vested in the success of what they have. And this was just one aspect of that. It was really fantastic.
And go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it gets to the point, too, that we don't see villages as having some sort of, like, prescriptive means of governing people's behavior, and it's very much, like, always throwing it back and giving it back to the folks who are living that experience and in this community. So the sort of folks in the previous meetings had one idea, and then the folks in the sort of work group around houselessness had other ideas, and the 14 women who move in the, you know, indefinite future for that, maybe they will have a third idea that sort of splits the difference. So we value all of those inputs, and we'll find a solution for that works for everyone.
I'm going to mess this up. I know I am. So I just want to give a shout out to Tom Petkowski. You threw us a curveball. They wanted to hear from the Rebuilding Center. But Lisa and anyone else, Lisa Digney Village, anyone else, how can we, when we come back, can you answer this question? How can, do you think a peer-based village tent city is better than a high-tech organization running it? And we can ask that when we come back. 503-231-8187. Give us a call.
And that is the number to join in that conversation on the air with Right to Survive Radio, with Lisa, with Ebe, and all their guests. And the other number for you to call tonight is 877-500-5266. That's the number to call to say yes to KABU, your community radio station. We are looking to raise about $600 right now, and it is possible to do. It is actually within our grasp. It just takes your participation. Here's the thing. It's like social change doesn't happen because we all sit around and think it would be a good idea. Social change happens when we decide to take it upon ourselves to work with others to accomplish our goal. Right? And we can break that down into some lofty pieces. We can break it down into some tangible, easy to actually attain bite-sized pieces. And really, the movement is a mix of both. And so right now, what I'm asking you to do is think about KABU. Think about the relevance of KABU's programs in your lives. Think about the things that you've learned off the airwaves here. Think about the connections you've made, the schools of thought you've entertained, how we have helped you through your workday, maybe by playing some amazing jazz or some great African music or some fine conscious folk, helping you through your work night when we play some turntablists, some hip-hop, some funk, some reggae. Maybe, you know, it's just being connected to a greater whole because you know that there are other people of like minds, people that share your values, who are also listening and engaging in these thoughts, in these ideas, in these exchanges of public discourse. And because of that connection, you know that you, in fact, can work together and change our communities, change our society, at the neighborhood level, at the local level, at the regional level. We work together and we make it happen. And right now, what we're asking you to make happen is we ask you to make the phones ring and to keep the lights on here at KABU. We are here on the first day of our February membership drive. It's an exciting time to be a part of independent media. And I am actually really excited to ask you to join us because I know a lot of folks are feeling overwhelmed. A lot of folks are feeling disempowered. A lot of folks are feeling a little down because, you know, we got some perilous, interesting, weird, damn times that we are living in and through. But the thing that is going to really help us, my friends, is for us to realize that we are a part of the solution. We are the heroes we are waiting for, and it's time to wait no longer. Everyone needs to do what they need to do right now. And right now, the most tangible, the easiest, the most basic step you can do is call KABU. Join KABU. support community radio, support your access to independent media, support the radio station that has been a part of the resistance movement since before it had that name, right? 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to join us. You can also join us online at kboo.fm. You can come down to 20 Southeast 8th here in person. Come on in. Make your pledge in person. Get a receipt, and you can take that one block north to Cider Riot at 807 Northeast Cooch, and they will give you $1 off a pint of cider for supporting KBOO. And that is an amazing deal. It's a great act of support. It's a little reciprocity, a little mutuality, and that is the essence of social change. So please do be a part. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. It's 877-500-5266. Online, kboo.fm. You know that this is the time to do it, because really, procrastination doesn't get the goods, right? Direct action gets the goods. And it is, in fact, your direct action that makes such a big difference. It's an act of empowerment for you and for your entire community. It really does help you listen to the radio differently, and you know that you are backing what you believe in, and that's a great feeling. 877-500-5266. I want to thank the folks that have joined us today. I want to thank the folks that have renewed their memberships today for making a difference and giving a damn. Go ahead and now you call us up, introduce yourself to us, and let us know that you too care. And we would love to give you a thank you on the air. We would love to laud you and to hold you up as an example of somebody who is in fact doing the right thing. 877-500-5266.
And we're back with the Houseless Community Village Coalition with Lisa Aspin, the he, Lisa, and Kate. And we left off with the question by calling us 503-231-8187. And Lisa, and then anyone else, we're going to do a round table if you want. Do you feel that peer-led operations are better than your traditional shelters?
Well, I never went into a traditional shelter, so I can't really compare. But living at the Village, we are self-governed. We do a lot of peer support. So if you have a problem, somebody else in the Village can help you out with it. And we are self-governed. And I think it is just a great way of self-empowerment. You're becoming a leader of your own little community out there. So therefore, when you do step out of the Village, then you can be a leader in your own community, wherever you end up at. So I am 100% behind the peer support, self-governed type of a Village. Of course, having a little bit of backing from other organizations might help, but I don't want to let go of that, the self-empowerment and self-government that the Village has by letting somebody step in and take over. I think we're doing a good job out there, and I've seen a lot of success stories coming from the Village.
Ask me.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Lisa, and I think that self-determination is a core value for the coalition and all our members. And so what does that look like? Well, you know, I think who better to come and help you learn more about yourself and your own situation than someone who's walked through it? You know, that's really the way that we bridge into new experience. Now, that being said, there are times when we need more than what we understand, and so that's when we do need to have access to services. It's not just a one size fits all kind of situation.
But he,
well, I want to hear what Katie has to say.
Yeah. Okay. What I am excited about with the Village model is that for all the different
communities up and down the West Coast and across the country and even the world, each one does it a little bit differently and has a little different arrangement between maybe an outside service provider, maybe not, maybe it's entirely member run, maybe it relies heavily on sort of outsiders and outside board and all that kind of stuff. So people are figuring it out for what works for them. And I think Dignity Village has found success in that with all of their independence and self-governance. And I really honor, as a join person who works with them, I really honor the work that they're doing and see my role as supporting that with whatever they have to offer. I think in future villages, that'll continue to be an important aspect of it. In the Ketton project that we're working on, I think Catholic Charities, who is going to be the sponsoring agency in that, really gets at us well and really looks to the wisdom of the community and sees a self-empowerment as absolutely an asset for what the work of this village will be.
The heat. And we got Lisa.
Yeah, I think one of the things I learned from you, Ibrahim, working with you over the last few years, well, a few things, you know, a variety of solutions are necessary, right? So the solution to houselessness is a variety of things. And so there are traditional approaches, like there's shelter and then there's affordable housing. But then there's a whole gap, a huge gap in between there that houseless people really can step in, if we allow them to and empower them to, can step in and be a part of the solution to kind of filling that gap. And that's another thing I learned from you, is nothing about us without us. Mm-hmm. It's a principle that, you know, many, many marginalized communities, people with disabilities, communities, the LGBT community during the AIDS crisis, nothing about us without us is, this is a crisis affecting us the most. We are the experts of how it debilitates us, of what it does to us, of how it rips apart our lives and our own communities. We need to be at that table coming up with those solutions. Okay. And so that's a big part of it.
We got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
You know, here at Right to Survive, I think working in the community and working with the Village Coalition and being a partner and supporting the fact that we are a very diverse group of individuals with a lot of inequalities that do not really conform to mainstream, but our ideas and views are changing and nurturing and shaping the cultural aspect and dynamic of our future here in Portland and the Northwest. And people here at KBOO, our family here at KBOO, are also rich and full of support for diversity and for a change in inequality. And I think Ibrahim has one more thing to say before we go. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, and we did, Right to Survive did a workshop, and it was called Breaking the Grecian Myth of Houselessness. And we should do that and go through the community. And I want people to realize people are not the problem. The problem is the problem. Thank you for listening.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being a part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KBOO Board of Directors is essential. Here's an opportunity for you to join the KBOO Board and become part of the team that is guiding our daily work and representing the interests and visions of all of our members. Please consider applying to become a KBOO Board member.